Bibles this morning. First of all, to the book of Revelation. And we're going to be in chapter 1 for a little while, and just a little bit in chapter 2, and then many other places in the Scripture as the Lord directs us. I'd like to sing a chorus, though. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Amen. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on. Once more. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Praise Him. Let's give the Lord a hand praise today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And that's what we need today, the fire of God. You know, I had a letter this week. I get many, many letters. I had a stack about that high. For those listening, it's about 18 inches high. But anyway, one person wrote and said, I'd like to ask you a question. He said, do you believe that the gifts of the Spirit are still for today, or did they end when the Bible was written, after the Bible was written? And I wrote back to him and said, if there was ever a time when we needed the gifts of the Spirit, it's today. And yes, they are for today. Thank God. The Lord wouldn't give a few people His gifts of the Spirit, or say all flesh, and then have a cutoff point before the world gets to its worst. See, it wouldn't make any sense, would it? The power of God is available today, but sadly, there are many churches that will teach that all those gifts of the Spirit ended, that they are no more. And the Bible warns us the day would come when there would be those that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. If they're going to deny the power of God, turn away from them. Because we want to walk with the Lord in the light of His Word and in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And God has a people who will do that. The first thing we're going to do is call upon the Lord in prayer, asking that He'd help us with this message today. Glory to God. Father in heaven, we come to Thee in prayer, Lord, because we need Thee so very desperately. We look to Thee, O God, because we love Thee and Thou hast saved us and called us out of darkness. Now, Lord Jesus, by Thy mighty power, I pray that Thou wouldst move upon us. Fill us with Thy Word. Fill us, Lord, with Thy Spirit. Give us understanding and wisdom and knowledge and faith, and impart unto us those things from heaven, O God, that we have need of today. O Lord Jesus, let Thy Word come forth for the sake of all who would hear it. Let it be unhindered, O God. Let Satan be rebuked and bound and cast out and made powerless in the name of Jesus through the power of the blood. And Lord, let Thy Word have free course in our hearts and in our minds to move through us, O Lord. For, O Lord, we know the Word will work mightily within us if we will mix faith with our hearing. And O Lord Jesus, I pray now that Thou wouldst give us victory through the blood, through Thy saving blood. And, O God, I pray that Thy Spirit would prevail in every heart today, not only of those in this building, but all over the world that hear this message. And we ask it in Jesus' name, through the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. We're going to call this message today. By the way, my voice is all right. It just sounds a little strange. I've been straining it some, and it'll be okay. When that second set of vocal cords kicks in, then you've had it. Amen. Now, we're going to call this message today, Candlesticks or Ruins. Candlesticks or Ruins. We are in Revelation 1, and we're going to begin with verse 9. John 1:9 says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. Now, if John is your companion, notice something here. He says, in tribulation. John is our companion. He's our brother. As a matter of fact, John is still alive. Just like every other true Christian and saint of God that's gone on ahead, they're still alive. I remember years ago, I got a Baptist real mad at me one time because I told him that Dwight Moody, D.L. Moody, was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he used to go out into the streets. Nobody had listened to him, but he got little children together and taught them the Bible. And after he taught them the Bible and preached to them a little bit, you know, street children, he'd take them over to the YMCA, which, by the way, isn't Christian anymore. That's long gone. He'd take them over to a room there and pray until he had them all prayed through to the Holy Ghost. And that is a documented fact. And one time he said to all these children in the congregation, he said, someday somebody's going to tell you that D.L. Moody is dead. He said, but don't you believe it. Don't you believe it. People may say that Christians die and they're gone. Don't believe it. They're very, very much alive. And John said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and that's something common to every true Christian, isn't it? All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Don't think it a strange thing if you do. He says, and in the kingdom and patience. Patience? What's that in this day and age? Patience? Everything has to be quick. Push button. Instant. We have instant cocoa, instant coffee, instant breakfast, instant light when you push the button. Everything instant, instant, instant. We have to have something called patience where we have to wait. You know, the Lord will teach us patience because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is the power of patience. When you wait upon God, you know what that means? When you're waiting, you're not doubting. When you're having patience, that's not a lack of faith. Patience is the endurance of faith. Now, he's saying here, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle, it's an island, that is called Patmos. Why is he there? It says, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, we know from history that they could not shut up the apostles. They would like to have shut them up, but the everlasting gospel had to be preached. And I'll tell you, when God gets into you, nothing will stop you.
Amen.
And so, they couldn't shut John up, and God wouldn't let them kill him. So they thought, I know what we'll do. We'll get rid of him. We'll isolate him. We'll put him in a place where he will never reach anybody again. See, their thinking was, that'll kill him. With all that fire that John has and all that power of God, we'll just stick him off on an island called Patmos where there's nothing but wild animals, not a person there, uninhabited. and he will never minister again. And so they stuck him off on Patmos, and God opened heaven to him. And God gave him the book of Revelation and appointed that it be sent to the churches and read in the churches. And God used him on the Isle of Patmos when there was nobody else around and gave him this glorious revelation of Jesus Christ that tells us all about the end times and what's going on. We're going to hear some of that today. But there he was on the Isle of Patmos. And notice what happened to him in verse 10. And I was in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Do you ever get in the Spirit? Paul knew what it was like to be in the Spirit, and Paul understood how that was to, and he mentioned it. He said, sometimes, he said, I here I am, Paul, and other times I'm beside myself. You know, I will pray in the Spirit, I'll pray with the understanding also. When he's praying in the Spirit, he didn't understand what he was praying. Come on. All right, we need to understand that the power and the gifts of the Spirit of God are very real today. So, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now what that means is it was a loud voice. A trumpet gives a very clear, loud noise, doesn't it? All right? Saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Of course, that's the first, those are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. If you remember your ABCs in Greek, anybody? Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, so forth. It's nobody? Anyway, okay. Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. So what's the Lord saying here? I'm the first, I'm the last. Some people try to say Jesus is second person of the Godhead. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is God Almighty. God was manifested in the flesh. God manifested Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but Jesus isn't second of anything. And the Bible never one time, you know, I put out this challenge to people, read your King James Bible, the one that God uses, read it cover to cover. Read it over and over again. You will never find where it says God the Son. It's always Son of God. There is a difference, folks. Because when you say Son of God, you're referring to the Lamb of God. You're referring to God manifested in the flesh. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now, they didn't have UPS back then. How was he going to get it there? If God told him to send it, God was going to get it there. And he did. All right? Send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia. I actually pronounce Philadelphia, so it should be pronounced, and unto Laodicea. There were seven churches in what is now known as Turkey, Asia Minor. And the Lord chose these seven churches because each one was in a certain spiritual condition at the time. And these messages were put out to those churches that would solve those problems, tell them what to do about their situation. And there's different advice that is given, and commandments, in fact. So, really, this is for all the churches because those seven were a microcosm. They typified all churches of all time, including this one. All right? And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. He mentioned seven churches. Now, seven golden candlesticks. The first thing he saw when he turned to see the voice that he had heard. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. You know what that signified? When the garment was left, when he went out and worked in the field, you tied the garment up so your legs were free to move around and work. When you were through, you untied the garment, it fell down to your ankles, right? So what does this mean? It means his work is done. The work of Calvary is a finished work. Jesus said, it is finished. The devil cannot undo what Jesus did. He fulfilled the Scripture, and what is done is done. Nothing can change that. And if you put your faith in the Word of God and in what Jesus did, the power of what He did still works for you in your life, in your heart, in your mind today. And gird about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. It must have been something to see that. You know, people have these pictures of Jesus, you know. And I'll tell you what, every one of them, the Catholics are notorious for that. I recently looked at an empty Catholic church. And just out of curiosity, there was a realtor in town said, you know, you could have this place for a song, you know, and there are other buildings with it and parking lot and all. And I thought, well, I'm just curious. I don't want it, but I want to see what's in there. And I went in there, and it was, you walk in, those devils, those spirits of Rome were just hanging out in that empty mausoleum of a church. You can call it a church. Huge inside, would seat about 500 people. They have their stained glass windows up there. It's this one up on the hill here in town, St. Michael's. It's really something, you know, when I came to town, I used to go around and I prayed against this whole thing, the Masonry and the Catholicism and all of that. And the result, today we have no Masonic Lodge in Beaver Dam. The building is condemned. They're going to tear it down shortly. The river already did part of the job for us. Two of the big giant Catholic churches are completely shut down, and the other one is in turmoil because of the Hispanic people that came in, and a lot of people don't like them, and it's a mess. God has poured out His judgment in measure already, and I've seen it. But I looked around in this place, and I thought, what a tombstone, what a bail box. What a mausoleum this is. It felt creepy. I was waiting for Vincent Price to walk around the corner any minute. I mean, this was ugliness. And of course, you could feel all of the evil forces from all the masses that were said there. And who knows what else went on in there. And I'll tell you what, between the church and the convent and the priest's house, the rectory, they've got tunnels, you know. So they can move about under the earth without anybody seeing that they're moving about from building to building. It's just something real weird about any place that has secret passageways. But I looked at that thing and I thought, what a horrifying situation for people have to be corralled and confined to a religion like that. But you know, the Word of God tells us that there's a better way. God's way. Not the way of men. Not something man has manufactured. Now watch this. Here's John, and he looked and he saw these seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. I want you to just really get a picture of Jesus here. He doesn't look like the pictures they hang up. Come on. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes, folks, his eyes were as a flame of fire. The fire of God in his eyes. and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. Did you ever get near a big waterfall, that deafening roar? What it's saying here is the volume, the loudness. When the Lord speaks, He can speak very loudly. In fact, when He comes again, it's not going to be a secret rapture event. I'm telling you, when the Lord comes back again, everybody's going to know it. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. How many second comings are there? See, what Scofield says is, well, yeah, He's coming back a second time, but before He does, He's going to sneak in here and take a whole bunch of people out, and there'll be piles of clothes all over and people missing and all this stuff, and nobody's going to know it. He's going to sneak in. And to try to use that verse, He cometh as a thief, that just simply means He isn't announcing when He's coming. But when He comes again, you're going to know it, and it's not going to be a next day. And that eliminates a whole bunch of theology right there. So-called eschatology. Eschatology is one of those 95-cent words that means study of end-time things, or end things. In verse 16 it says, and He had in His right hand, here's Jesus standing there, in all that glory and majesty, and in His right hand, seven stars. And out of His mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. Why does it have two edges? It cuts coming and going. That is a sword. That is His Word. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I'll tell you what, the Lord knows how to get to the bottom of things. And when He comes back again, He's going to tear this place apart.
Amen.
Amen. All right. And His countenance, that's His face, was as the sun shineth in His strength. Can you imagine the sight of this that John beheld? And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. Wouldn't you? And He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, so you have all this power of God, but He touched John and said, fear not. Fear not. See, the devil wants to put fear in you. But in the presence of God, there is no terror. When you belong to Him, when you're covered with the blood of Jesus, when you've been redeemed, when you've been filled with the Spirit, fear not, I am the first and the last. There was none before me and there's not going to be any after me. Isn't that good news? And if you're in Jesus Christ, He was before you and there's none after Him and you're in the right place. I am He that liveth. Liveth. ETH means continues to live. Anytime you have an ETH at the end of a word, that's why the King James Bible is God's book. It's so important. Other so-called Bibles don't use that. They don't have that. You can't get that meaning out of there. Anytime you have an ETH, believeth, continue to believe. Liveth, continue to live. And so forth. Very vitally important. All right? I am He that liveth. And was dead. He was dead for 3 days and three nights. Now bear in mind, God didn't die. The Son of God died. Remember before I said there's a difference? God the Son didn't die because God can't die. God wasn't born. Mary's not the mother of God. God was never born. He always was. And God never died. The Son of God, the flesh of God, the Lamb of God, the humanity of God died and was in the grave 3 days and three nights. Okay? I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. And have the key of hell and of death. You know what that means? The devil cannot kill you. I've had people tell me, I'm afraid the devil's going to kill me. He can't. If he could, you'd be dead already. He wouldn't have put up with you this long if you're trying to follow the Lord. He can't kill you because Jesus has the keys of hell and of death. He's got them. All right? And he goes on in verse 19 and says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Write it down. The mystery of the seven stars. In other words, mystery here just simply means, doesn't mean that people can't understand it, it's just that most don't. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. He says the seven stars are the angels, the messengers of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And of course, we explained before that that means all the true churches of God of all time are represented by those seven candlesticks. Didn't Jesus say, ye are the light of the world? Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? Yes. Now, he said, no man lighteth a candle and put it under a bushel. You know, let your light shine. So the churches are the light of the world through Jesus Christ. But what have churches today become? Institutions of the devil. Banging drums, entertainment centers, flashing lights, clowns, magicians, ventriloquists, socials and dances and singles get-togethers. And you know why they have those, don't you? Everybody in there is getting divorced and they find somebody else, they become single again. And oh, what a mess. Valentine's Day things and holidays. We don't have any holidays around here. We are too involved in the coming of the Lord to get involved with the things of this world and with the paganism that Satan has set up. Notice now, one more verse in verse 1. And this is where we're going to focus for a moment. He says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Do you realize the import and the power of that verse? It's telling us where we can find Jesus Christ. And I've had people ask me that question, where do I find Jesus? How do I find Jesus? It tells us where He is right here. He's walking among His people. He's walking in His churches. That's where you find Him. You look in all this whole wide world, and where do you find Jesus Christ? We know He fills the universe, but He is walking, He is moving, He is active among His people. Walks among the seven golden candlesticks. That means He is here right now, walking among us in this building. That's the reality of it, folks. Now, if we understand that, there's something else we need to understand about this message. I'm telling you, of course, the title of the message is Candlesticks. Candlesticks, meaning these candlesticks. Or ruin. Watch this. Let's go back to Job. Go back to Job chapter 1 for two verses. In Job 1 verses 6 and 7, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. See, the old devil likes to get in there anywhere that he can. Now, he can't do that anymore because Once Jesus went to the cross, he has no more access. He cannot ever approach unto heaven, and he can never accuse you of anything. Isn't that wonderful? Who's the accuser? Now, I'm sure in your lives, in all of our lives, from time to time, we've been accused of things. You've been accused of things. The accuser is accusing is always the work of the devil. Accusations are of the devil, without exception. That's his modus operandi. Jesus said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" Remember? He put the accusers all to flight. Now watch something. Satan came in among them. Verse 7 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou?" Meaning, where did you come from? "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Satan's answer was, "I've been to and fro, up and down in the earth." That's latitude and that's longitude, meaning he has been all over the world. And if he's been walking in it, have you noticed his footprints? Can you tell where he has been? Can you tell what he has been doing? What he's been up to? And every place he's been, there is ruin. There is emptiness. There are waste places. Just as we have the glory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ walking among the candlesticks, you have Satan walking to and fro in the earth, but he's walking among the ruins. Because every place he goes, there is trouble, there's war, there's disease, there's deception. Lost souls, souls that are bound by all the things of darkness, that is what Satan walks among. He's walking in the dark places, in the evil places, in the conspiratorial places, in the White House, in the chambers of Congress, in the lecture pits of universities, in the religious so-called sanctuaries of charlatans like Rick Warren, member of the CFR, The CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, located at 58 East 68th Street, is the Illuminati in the United States, and Rick Warren was invited to join them and promptly did. It is a Luciferian organization. It is the Illuminati. It sits there in that big building on the corner in New York City near the East River. It's real. It's a real place. And of course, certain people can walk in and have meetings in there. And they told me when they threw me out of there the third time that this is, nobody gets in here, not even the press. This is private. And yet all of these heads of state and all these people who are anything, in any of the endeavors, ministers, people of any prominence politically, have joined this thing. It is the Illuminati. They worship Satan in there. They have a big room in there with gilded walls and gilded ceiling and crystal chandeliers and big tables, and they plan out world wars and who's going to get it next. And I'm going to tell you about that in a few minutes too. But you'll notice wherever Satan walks, there is trouble. And we were warned of this by Peter. You know, if we flip back to the New Testament just for a quick moment, in 1 Peter chapter 5, and I know I get there quicker than you do because I use markers sometimes, but in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tells us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary," your enemy, "your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion," what does he do? "Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." You see that? He can't devour just anybody. He seeks whom he may devour. God is in charge. But he goes forth as a roaring lion, to and fro in the earth. Did you ever notice, did you ever see a picture? I've been there a number of times in the UN, in their General Assembly chamber. That big monstrosity of a chamber with the phoenix birds off in the corners, carved phoenix bird, you know, the mythological bird that rises from the ashes to bring forth a new world order. Oh, you ought to see the symbology in these places. And that podium there where the Pope sits right off to one side, to the right side of it, and there's a blue light shining on the podium. And that blue light, of course, in the occult, blue is divination, fortune-telling, witchery. And so they have that blue light. Answers to that principality called Regia. Remember Jean Dixon, when she summoned up Regia? She was that good Catholic, you know? She said the way she got her spirit of prophecy, she was laying in bed one night. You can see this in her book, A Gift of Prophecy. She's got this explanation right at the beginning of the book. It's available at the library. I wouldn't check it out. You can just look in there if you want, if you don't believe what I'm saying, but it's there. And she was in her bed and she sat up. She felt a power come into her room. She said she sat up. Now, John, see what you think of this, having been a Mason. She sat up. She felt a power coming into the room and she immediately looked to the east. Have you been east? See? The Grand Orient. She was getting an orientation there from the devil. She looked to the east, and then she saw a serpent, a blue serpent, coiled itself around her in the bed, a wispy, blue, filmy serpent. And she looked into the eyes of the serpent, and they were red eyes. And then she felt the gift of prophecy come over her. Now, is that Catholicism? Well, yeah, I guess you could tie that in. But it's not God. A serpent with red eyes? Now, come on. Now they're going to bring back these Smurfs in the form of a movie. Remember the Smurfs back in the 80s? Those little blue critters running around? Blue and red. Of course, some of them have white hats. And Papa Smurf. Remember Papa Smurf with the big white beard? And one time, there's always something coming into the Smurf village to mess things up, and they had to find an answer. Does anybody remember this? It wasn't that long ago. And so, Papa Smurf would say, well, I don't know what to do, and so I will consult with one higher than myself. And he looked up and called upon one called Azazel. Azazel is Hebrew and means the goat. All right? Azazel is another name for Satan. But the little children that are sitting there eating their Frosted Flakes and Cheerios Saturday morning and watching this stuff wouldn't know what Azazel is. And then the commercial comes on. Actually, it was Post. I still remember it. Post Alphabets. Remember Alphabet cereal? And they showed these children in this commercial pouring the alphabets into a bowl and pouring milk on it and then looking into the cereal bowl and asking it questions. And they would show the letters in the cereal moving around, forming words to answer their question. They turned their bowl of cereal into a Ouija board. Right? That's something to train the children. Oh, Mom, go to the store and get me some alphabet so I can ask it questions. I can honestly tell you I've never talked to my cereal in my life. And my cereal has never talked to me. And if you hear a snap, crackle, pop, and you're not eating cereal, it just means you're getting old. Anyway. So, you know, Satan with his walking to and fro, up and down, this UN thing, I got to finish telling you about that. You walk in that building, and there's that blue light, there's all this weird, the phoenix is up there in the corner. And up above it, in the front, they have the world. They have two sheaves of wheat crossing each other and going up and around the world. Kind of like the consistory, you know? Kind of like the York and the Scottish Rite going opposite directions around the circle. And there's 13 kernels of wheat in each sheaf. 13 and 13, two 13s engulfing the world. Then you have the parallels and the meridians up and down, and the view is from the top of the world. You're looking at it from the top, from the sides of the north. Isn't that where Satan was thrust out of? The sides of the north. Here's this one world government, the United Nations. Really, that's what it is. It's just been kind of a maintenance system until the real thing comes along. Somebody asked me one time, do you think George Bush is the Antichrist? And I said, no, I really don't, but he'll do until the real one comes along. And boy, he has. Now they said that Barack Obama is 15 points ahead in all the polls. And I was quite shocked to hear Huckabee endorse Obama. They said, don't say any. He said, don't watch out. He said, don't say anything bad about Obama. See? And that was all over the news. And a lot of people were surprised about that. There's intrigue going on. But who was in charge of Huckabee's campaign? The president of the Council on Foreign Relations, who torpedoed him out of there. Remember, they have ways of manipulating people, folks. That's why the only hope we have is Jesus Christ. This thing is going to wrap up. You can put on rose-colored glasses if you want to, but World War III is right around the corner, and somebody better tell you about it. Amen. How do I know? Satan is walking to and fro in the earth and up and down in it, and he is walking in the waste places. Look, let's look at something together here in Isaiah. We're going to build this thing up into a crescendo here in a minute. Now, in Isaiah 24, hear the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. He said, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Have you noticed the chaos in the world lately? And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. That's kind of interesting because the witches actually stole that verse and changed it around a little. One of the most common phrases used among witches is, as the priest is, so are the people. In other words, that you follow that high priest or that high priestess, whatever, and you become like them. But they stole this verse and then inverted it and twisted it a little bit. But the Word of God says, and it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. In other words, they're all in the same boat. They're all in trouble. As with the lender, so with the borrower. Boy, these lenders have gotten in a little trouble too, haven't they? Now they've got to write off $1.3 trillion with a T, $1.3 trillion in bad debt. That's a lot of bananas, folks. $1.3 trillion, not millions, not billions, but trillions. When you think about what a billion is. You know, people throw these numbers at us and they don't mean anything. People use that terminology, million, billion, trillion. But you can't picture even a billion of anything. The closest I can get to picturing almost a billion of something is if I took those little stick matches and started in New York City laying them side by side, little stick matches, all down the highways, actually in a straight line if there was a highway that was straight, but laying them all the way down, I would be at about 895 million when I hit Los Angeles. Not even 1 billion. How many little stick matches can you lay side by side? Figure it out in inches and feet and miles. Come on. That's not even 1 billion. Much less than 1,000 of those billions plus. To write that kind of debt off, houses will be worth 50% of what they are right now, 1 year from now, if we last that long. I just got my letter from Accurate Appraisals. They devalued my house $3,500. Every year it went up, 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 up. Now it came down. And we had improvements. It's amazing. Values are going not... Now, they won't go down much for tax purposes because they need that tax money. See? But they have to bring them down. And when you go to the bank, they're going to say, well, you know, we can't loan you that much because the house isn't worth that much anymore. And loans, mortgages already in existence, death contracts, which is what a mortgage is, mortgage, mort, mortuary, mortician, mortgage, death contract. What that, the mortgage is already in existence, they don't have the equity anymore to cover. And they don't have the value for security. So yes, I can see what it's saying here. So with the seller as with the lender, so with the borrower, it says, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. They're all in trouble. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. In other words, the value of it is gone. The people are there, but the value is gone. Somebody took it. Where did it go? The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. See, that pride is going to bring him to a fall, isn't it? And this is the result of Satan walking to and fro and up and down in it. The earth also is defiled. Can you understand? It is a defiled earth. Full of defiled people. With a defiled government. With a defiled educational system. Being fed a continual steady diet from Hollywood. Everything is corrupt. You know, things are falling apart. Oh, I know I'm full of good news again today. The earth is also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance. Have we noticed changes that have come upon us? Because of die Geheimestaatspolizei, ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer, Herr Buschler? Have you noticed that? The man who wants to start World War III? Back to that in a minute. Transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. It's coming. The new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth. All the merry-hearted do sigh. You know, we have lost our crops in the Midwest. They're all done. They can't do anything about it. It's a bad year. They're not producing. Everything's flooded. And they don't, certain things, little portions of it, but massive amounts are literally wiped out. If it isn't drought, it's flooding. But this is the hand of God. And it's because Satan has walked to and fro and up and down in the earth. The mirth of tabrets ceaseth. The noise of them that rejoice endeth. The joy of the harp ceaseth. You know what's going to happen eventually? Those credit cards are going to be maxed out and they can't even make the minimum payments, and then look out, they're not going to be able to drive those big 4x4s. And you know, these people driving on... You know, there's nothing uglier than a macho man. These guys go out and they get these trucks. Oh, look at me, hear me roar, you know. Pay $35,000 for a big old black 4x4. Brand new shiny vehicle, and they're racing it up and down the street. I can go anywhere. I got four-wheel drive. Okay? Get about 12 miles to a gallon, maybe. Now they can't afford to fill them up anymore. They're taking them back and want to trade them in. And dealers don't want them. Nobody wants the gas-guzzling hogs, right? Everybody's feeling the pinch. Midwest Airlines is grounding all of their MD-80s because they guzzle too much fuel. Just going to park them. Things are changing permanently. Because the Lord is coming. They shall not drink wine with a song. No more wine, women, and song, eh? Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. In other words, the only people out there, they're not going to be drinking to celebrate, they're going to be drinking to commiserate, to drown their sorrows. The problem is, when they come around from the drunk they've been on, after they crawl out of their vomit and try to deal with their headache, the world's just as bad as it was and even worse. And the Bible tells us, the book of Proverbs, they'll do it all over again. Isn't it something how people are? They'll go out there and get intoxicated, the same root word from which we get poison, something toxic. They'll get intoxicated, they'll get inebriated, they'll start tipping the bottles until they're feeling single and seeing double, and then they'll find their way home, and their best friend becomes the toilet bowl, where they stick their face in it, a place where the face was never meant to be, and vomit all of that out and just lay there sick. And after a couple weeks, they get their paycheck and say, I've worked a couple weeks now, I owe this to myself, I'll do it all over again, I'm going to go out and tie one on. What a life. Ruined souls. And Satan's walking among the ruins. That's where you find him. Walking among the ruined lives, the ruined souls, the broken homes. That's where he is. The city of confusion is broken down. The city of confusion. I can think of a number of cities that pop into mind here. Like Washington and Madison, and we even have a state of confusion, not just a city. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. Now notice, in the midst of all of this trouble, God is still in the midst of His seven golden candlesticks, and He has a people that, even though they're in this world, they're not of it. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, meaning at dawn. Even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles, meaning coastlands of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. So the people of God are singing, aren't they? The world is in ruin. Satan is walking to and fro and up and down, but the Lord is walking among the candlesticks. Where do you want to be? Among the candlesticks of God, where the Lord is walking among us, or out in this world where Satan walks among the ruins? What are the people out there saying? My leanness. You know, people go to the store. They say, hey, I can't buy as much food as I did. I don't have the money. I got to leave the Twinkies there. That's not much of a loss now, is it? Did you know Hostess Twinkies are 95% oil? 95% oil. You might as well just take the top off of a canola bottle and And that's bad oil. But take a few swigs of that, huh? Of course, what it is, it's grease and sugar whipped together with a little cake around it. Yeah, you could just about make diesel fuel out of that if you just process it a little bit. But people are saying, my leanness, woe unto me, for the treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. The dealers, the wheelers and the dealers, the stock market people, the investors, the commodities people, right? Very treacherously. And it's left everybody feeling the leanness of it. You see, what's happening is our dollar is shrinking. It's evaporating. It's become volatile. And that's why it takes more dollars to buy the same things. I remember buying a gallon of gas for 24.9 cents. I remember it going up to 36.9. I remember everybody panicking when it was 59.9. I remember telling people, you're going to see the day when it's a dollar a gallon, and I got laughed out of the pulpit. I'm telling you, you're going to see the day when it's $7 a gallon. Probably 10 and maybe 12. You can laugh if you want to, but don't say it can't happen. Because I know what they're up to. The prices we're paying right now, $4 a gallon plus, is when it was $90 a barrel. It's based on that index. Now it's up near 140, and you're going to feel that in a couple months. There's no way around it. It's already happening. What's happening? Why does it take more dollars? See, people say the price is up. That's because the dollar is shrinking. And it takes more of those dollars to buy those same things. It's called inflation. And it always weakens the dollar. And the government says, I've got the answer. We'll pump more dollars out of the press. Turn on the money pumps. Open the valves. Spitting it right out. Look, we can make all we want. And it keeps taking more and more and more and more and more of it. And everything already in existence is worth less and less and less and less. And that's what's exactly and precisely what's happening in our country. You look to those days in Germany where they used to go to the store. One man went to a grocery store in Germany back during the Weimar Republic, and hyperinflation going on. He went into the store and he had a wheelbarrow full of cash. He stepped into the store for a minute to see what was left on the shelves. He came back out. The cash was laying on the ground and the wheelbarrow was gone. You go into a restaurant and you fought with them. You wanted to pay in advance because by the time you finished eating, the price would have tripled. That's how bad it got. Don't say it can't happen. It did happen. And it can happen here. Why? The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Very treacherously, it tells us. And they're still doing it. Do you think George Bush would ever solve the oil problem? That slicker man, he is so covered with oil. He's oil all the way. And his business partners are those in Arabia. He's in on this thing. He's thick in it. Well, the Bible tells us fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. Why? Satan was walking up and down in it. And wherever he walks, there's ruin. I want to be where Jesus walks. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. You know, some people would say, well, that's typical of Meyer to talk about negative things, you know. And what's happening, though, is people that don't even know the Lord are saying things. I saw this morning and printed it out. I was surprised, really, by it. It came from Associated Press, source of all truth and wisdom. AP, Associated Press. The title is, Everything Seemingly is Spinning Out of Control. It's really something to have one of them admit it. He starts out by saying, is everything spinning out of control? Midwestern levees are bursting. Polar bears are adrift. Gas prices are skyrocketing. Home values are abysmal. Airfares, college tuition, and health care border on unaffordable. Wars without end rage in Iraq, Afghanistan, and against terrorism. He says the can-do bootstrap approach embedded in the American psyche is under assault, eroding it as dour powerlessness that is chipping away at the country's sturdy conviction that destiny can be commanded with sheer courage and perseverance. There's a sense of helplessness is reflected even in this year's presidential election. Each contender offers a sense of order. Well, Hitler did that. And hope. Republican John McCain promises an experienced hand in a frightening time. Democrat Barack Obama promises bright and shiny change. And his large crowds believe his exhortation, yes, we can! Even so, a battered public seems discouraged by the onslaught of dispiriting things. And he goes on, he talks about the survey that was done. Only 14% of the people think that we're on the right course. A lot of people know something is wrong. And he says it's pretty scary. He goes on, talks about them, kind of just skimming this very quickly for you. Recent natural disasters around the world dwarf anything afflicting the U.S. Consider the more than 69,000 people that died in China earthquake. 78,000 were killed and 56,000 missing from the Myanmar cyclone. Americans need do no more than check the weather, look in their wallets, or turn on the news for their daily reality check on a world gone haywire. This is AP. Floods engulf Midwestern river towns. Is it global warming? The gradual degradation of the planet's weather that man seems powerless to stop? He goes on and talks about the hurricanes, the other weather things. The food is becoming scarcer and more expensive on a worldwide scale. Due to increased consumption in growing countries such as China and India and rising fuel costs. And by the way, those countries have a lot of our money now. They can bid against us for the food, see? And he goes on and on with one litany of destruction after another. And that's a secular unbeliever just saying, what's going on? Everything's spinning out of control. Satan is walking to and fro in the earth and up and down in it among the ruins. Now, I don't have time this morning. I never do. I never have enough time. But you know, I'm going to tell you about this in the few remaining minutes I've got. In Daniel chapter 7, if you care to read it sometime, we are told about four beasts. When God looks at a government, He sees a beast. And the four beasts that Daniel is shown, and I've mentioned this to you before, I hope you can remember it, represent four one-world governments that existed already. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Babylon, if you remember, was like a lion with wings. And it was destroyed. Satan was there. Do you think Satan was in Babylon? Oh yeah, walking to and fro and up and down in it. And Babylon was in ruins. It was actually destroyed by the bear empire. A bear with three ribs in its mouth typified Medo-Persia. Satan was there. Medo-Persia went on for a while and then was destroyed by Alexander the Great and the army of the Greeks. The Grecian Empire was typified by a leopard with four heads and four wings. And when Alexander the Great died, his four generals, Lysimachus, Cassander, Ptolemy, and Seleucus, took control of the empire, fulfilling prophecy. The Grecian Empire was destroyed by Rome. Remember the Roman Empire? Vini, Vidi, Vici, I came, I saw, I conquered. Caesar conquered the whole known world. And the question was asked, what meat hath Caesar eaten whereby he has waxed so great? What did he have for lunch that made him so great? But he conquered the whole known world, all the empires. And God saw that as an indescribable beast with great iron teeth that destroyed and then even stamped the residue of its destruction. Four empires. They came and they went. But he tells us something in here about that last empire. Now, Satan was in all of these things, walking to and fro and up and down in it. And so what's interesting here is it says, and I'm going to have to be very quick about this, talking about that fourth beast, says in verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts, all the governments that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Why was it diverse? Because it was to rise again in a different form. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. That little horn was the papacy. That little horn was Roman Catholicism, diverse from all the others. When the Caesars were gone, a new kind of Caesar rose up, speaking great things. You see? The Pope. Now, isn't this going to get interesting here in the next couple of minutes? Because I'm going to tie it all together for you. But you know, it talks about how Rome, there were 10 horns, right? When Rome fell, look in your history books. Maybe you can remember your history. Should we test our memory? Don't count on me too much, because at my age, you know, the gray matter starts to get a little soft. But 10 tribes destroyed Rome. The Goths, the Ostrogoths, the Visigoths, the Heruli, the Suevi, the Vandals, the Turks, the Franks, the Burgundians, and the Lombards came in and destroyed Rome. 10 barbaric tribes. We now have, in a similitude of prophecy, 10 segments, 10 divisions of the world under the club of Rome. Why do we always see these tens? The Roman Empire has risen again, risen from the ashes to take control. Satan is walking among his old ruins. Now, understand this. We are in Iraq in a terrible war, aren't we? And it's been going on and on for some time, literally breaking the back of our country. Even the soldiers are going crazy from it. That stress disorder among soldiers is up 50% from last year. There are over 14,000 cases of it, and they said they'll never recover. Another 40,000 are directly affected and becoming that way. But anyway, we have this horrifying war. And where is the war? In the land of the first beast, Babylon. Iraq is geographical Babylon. Now, our president is picking a fight with Iran. and working on it like mad. In fact, the Jerusalem Post said that our president committed to the Knesset. He said, before I leave office, we will attack Iran. Now think about that. We're talking about World War III. Now the thing is, Iran is the second beast, Persia. Geographical, Persia or Iran. On the east of the Euphrates. The third one was Greece, wasn't it? You might say, what does Greece have to do with it? The Israeli government has gone down to Greece, and with the cooperation of the Greek Air Force, the Israeli Air Force, just finished a large attack plan. They've actually gone through military exercises aimed at Iran and intend to attack Iran from Greece. There is your third beast. How about the fourth one, Rome? We have a president who's been hanging around the Pope a lot. In fact, he's been going all over Europe gathering support for his war against Iran, and your newspapers won't report on it. He wants to attack. Iran said, if we are attacked, the entire Mideast will be a fireball. And Russia said, don't you dare attack Iran. They're going to come in. Red China will come in. And our military couldn't beat the Boy Scouts right now. We don't have the financial capability of fighting another war. We're talking about the end of the world, and something has possessed our president to think that he's the guy who's supposed to do this. He feels it's a divine calling to attack Iran and start World War III. And he was in Rome. I don't know if he's still there. But ordinarily, when a head of state goes to Rome, the Pope comes in and he meets them in the Apostolic Library, but not Bush. Bush is the only head of state in all the history of the world, since the papacy has been there, to go up into the tower, a medieval tower, 12th century tower, called the Tower of St. John, which overlooks the Vatican, and he and the Pope together, alone, went up there. The Pope leading on, Bush behind him saying, what an honor, what an honor. They said he wouldn't shut up, he kept repeating it. What an honor, what an honor. And now in Italy and over in England, these newspapers saying that our president has converted to Catholicism. So his walk down the beach with Billy Graham didn't do him any good at all. What's going on? All four of these beasts are in cooperation here for World War III. It's all laid out in the Bible. It's happening before our very eyes. Now, it's simply a matter of this, and I must draw this to a close right now because we're really running out of time here. The yellow light is on. That's how I know that we got a signal system up there. Folks, who do you want to be walking with? Satan will continue to walk to and fro in the earth and up and down in it. But the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, walks in the midst of His seven golden candlesticks. The church of Jesus Christ, the congregation of His people, He's present with them. No matter what happens out there, what's out there isn't what I'm a part of. The kingdom of God is within us. Satan walks among the ruins. The old Parthenon, the Acropolis, the old ruined buildings of Rome, the ruined buildings of Greece, the old ruins of Babylon and Persia. He's walking up and down, to and fro. But folks, we walk in the presence of God. And He will preserve us, protect us, and defend us. Here it is. The headlines, AFP News, ball of fire if Iran is attacked. They know it's coming. World War III is just ahead. Do you realize? You know, when things like that start to happen, there'll be standing room only in here. I'm telling you. Because there are a lot of people on the fence. And when you start to realize, hey, the end is upon us, and you really believe that, and all of a sudden, oh, I better get right. I better get faithful. Most people won't, but there will be some who will. But isn't the time now Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the hour to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are in such need today because the time is so late. It is so late in time and thy coming is at hand. I pray that thou wouldst impress this upon the hearts of thy people, for there are treacherous things going on out there and much deception. And Lord, in thy presence, there is truth and light and hope. And thou art here with us, walking among us. Keep us, O Lord, from the wickedness of this world and give us victory over it. And help us to understand the prophecies of thy word and to know that great joy is ahead at thy coming for those that thou hast purchased, for those that are thy children. Be with us, Lord, I pray. Strengthen our faith exceedingly and give us victory always. In Jesus' name, amen.